In other words, God's right-handed. And he's going to come, and he's going to come reach down to where you are and pull you up out of that muck and mire, out of that pit, out of that trouble, out of that battle. You might be in a place where you are worn out or complacent in your walk with God. It is easy to get there. Little things every day can bring a separation between you and God. Remember, one of the biggest peace robbers in our life is business. Remember when I was talking about that? Our busyness. So we have to be careful with the busyness in our life, okay? Today, the church needs to be revived. But I believe today, the common average church is too busy with all of their programs or the things that they do. All of good intentions, all trying to just, you know, maintain within. But I feel like sometimes they forget the bigger picture. And the bigger picture not only is without, but the bigger picture is them as an individual and their relationship with God. So watch how busy you get, okay? And so the revival is desperately needed in any church to cause an awakening to what God is doing and wanting to do. Have you ever asked God, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Or you go to church, Lord, what do you want in this service today? Or even, Lord, what do you want me to receive? What do you want me, what revelation? What, open my eyes to what you have for me, okay? And so those are things that we should say every day, every day, every day. Or else we can fall into complacency. Are you dead spiritually? Are you dead in your heart or spirit? So we're starting this revival series, and it's called A Cry for Revival. And this will span for the next few months. So we're going to do it through September and October, or however long God does it, okay? And it's not programmed or planned. Again, this is something that's from my book, Revive, Rebuild, and Restore. But it's also something that's been pressing on my heart. I wanted to do a revival series when Pastor Gidding was coming, and so I had this whole advertisement all planned out. And then when he didn't get approved, I was downhearted, you know. And then I just felt like the Lord said, you need to do it anyway. We're doing it faith believing, too, that Pastor Gidding, his feet will stand on this soil in Spokane, Washington. All right? Yeah. So, but that's what we're going to do in the next few months. And this will help bring an awakening to all of our hearts. And it will usher in the freedom of God's Spirit to have his way in all of us. By the time we are finished with this series, it is my prayer for more freedom, for more growth, and more of Jesus in all of us. Amen? Amen. Amen. How many want more of Jesus? Amen. Yeah, that's right. Me too. Okay. So let's look at the word. Let's get a little practical here. Let's look at the word revive. Okay. So we're looking at what is revival. Now let's look at that word. In the dictionary, it means to activate, set in motion, or take up again, renew, to restore to life or consciousness, to put on or show again, to make operative or valid again, to bring back into notice, use, or currency, to quicken or renew in the mind, to reanimate or cheer, to return to life, consciousness, vigor, strength, or a flourishing condition, to recover from financial depression. Ooh, how many want to be revived there? Come on, okay? Amen. To be quickened, restored, or renewed as hope, to become operative or become valid again. I love that definition. Wow, what an awesome look at what revival is, okay? We need to be activated in our faith. Let faith arise in us. And the enemy knows he can put doubt in our hearts. He'll try, won't he? And it will paralyze us if we entertain those thoughts. And it'll paralyze us from doing anything for God. And that's what he wants. It will put despair and discouragement in us. And we become defeated. It is imperative for us to activate and celebrate our life in Christ. To walk and experience life more abundantly than ever dreamed possible. And this is obtainable and available for all of us right now. So, I just want to go back to that main slide. A cry for revival is something that comes from deep within us and can't help to come out and be heard by the ears of God. This should be our cry at Hope Fellowship, okay? Crying out to God brings him instantly to us, just like that. Did you know that you could just say, Jesus, and he's there? Do you know that? I mean, even now, as soon as I said his name, his presence was just like elevated to me right here, you know? And I believe it and I experience it. So crying out to God brings him instantly to us. As we all cry out to God, we become one voice. Did you know that? One cry, and God is compelled to respond. And do you know, and I've said this before, in an orchestra, when every instrument is played at the same time, it's called a full cry. Okay? And what it does, the listener is moved and it gets the attention of all who are present. It makes a statement that will never be forgotten. This is the same when we cry out in one voice to our Creator to help us revive and become fully awake to Him and His presence. We're going to have that full cry. How many long for revival? How many long for God to move in your life? All right? Let's cry out to God together. Yes, He does. So, looking back at that definition, we can see that there's many forms of revival. But I don't know if you could see it all, if it was in this definition or not. But there is forms like revivable, revivability, revivably, reviver, revivingly, and revival. And looking at these thoughts and the possible related forms makes me ask you, do you have revivability? That sounds kind of funny. You might ask yourself, am I revivable? Anyone is. So do you feel dead? Are you struggling with life? Do you feel like you are doing the same thing over and over again and not feeling fulfilled? If so, maybe you have developed wet wood. I know a wet piece of wood is impossible to light on fire until it has dried out. We can get so immersed in this world and our hearts can grow wet and cold and we feel very little when it comes to God and the things of God. We can get so used to being in the church and the churchy things that we don't even see our flame has died. But if you put a bunch of combustible things around the wet wood, under the wet wood, and light those combustible things on fire, the wet wood will eventually dry out and ignite and start burning. No one's too wet for a revival. No one. And I pray the hunger of God just pours into you to the point where it's just burning inside you to know more of Him. And this is the same with this wet wood being ignited. It's the same when it comes to lighting the fire of God in our hearts and catching fire to hearts of those that seem cold or dead around us. You might be working with co-workers that are dead inside. Maybe they've given up. Maybe you have contacts with people that they just don't get it, okay? But you are that light. You are the flame that they can see, which will bring hope and will bring understanding, okay? Revival is releasing any... Here's a huge part of it. Revival is releasing any unforgiveness, bitterness, or past hurts to God and allowing Him to bring a refreshing in your soul. And a lot of these co-workers and the people that you're with, maybe even yourself, maybe you have some unforgiveness.
I'm working on it.
And it's turned into bitterness, okay? But true revival, when we're really hungry for God and we want to please Him, we want more of Him, we realize that stuff isn't important to holding on to it. And we get to the place where we can release it. And I understand the pain of unforgiveness, trust me. But I also know that God will woo you and draw you to Him to be able to come to that place to be able to forgive. And it is a process. We've talked about that too. It is walking humbly with God, hand in hand, and watching Him reveal areas in your life that needs attention or change. You see, revival is bringing dead things back to life. We can have dead relationships, dead finances, dead dreams, and dead emotions. We need revival desperately, spiritually. We need revival over our past mistakes or past regrets, right? That sounds like a whole word thing. So that's going to be one of our Sundays when we talk about revival of our past. We'll talk about revival of relationships. Revival of emotions. We need revival spiritually. We need revival for our future. And God does and will breathe life into your dead things, into your life. This is revival. Now, revival comes in so many different forms, but the bottom line is something was dead or asleep and needs awaken or comes back to life. It can be your old way of thinking, and God brings a new revelation of thought. See what I'm saying? That's a form, okay? Maybe we need new mindsets, okay? Maybe God needs to revive you in your thought processes of how you look at life and how you look at Him, how you look at people. It can be spiritual blindness and you couldn't see God working. You don't even know that He's working. Maybe you're blind to that. I'm going to be preaching a message September 14th, and it's called Are You Blind? And we're going to look at maybe areas in our life that we might be blind to, okay? Bring your friends. It's going to be good.
Is that September what?
14th. That's a Friday night. Our next Friday night Hope Fellowship. Are you blind? God. So if you can, it can be spiritual blindness, and you couldn't see it. You couldn't see God working, and God opens your eyes to see His mighty work and His mighty power. Do you remember? The prophet was saying, "Lord, open their eyes so they can see." We're not alone fighting this battle, you know. And then his servant's eyes were open, and all of a sudden he saw chariots and horsemen and soldiers. But we don't see that, you know. It could be an awakening, our eyes open to things that God is doing. Okay, so we can, our eyes can be open and say, "Wow, I just got revived in my checkbook because I had this, but this is here," or "God provided this job for me to do." Whatever it is, okay. Let's look at it as God touching you. It's God bringing that resource.
Well, it is.
Amen.
It all belongs to Him anyway.
Now, did you ever wonder why on these slides and stuff I have fire? Okay?
Wait.
Yep. Revival feels like a fire in our hearts. And whenever you've probably seen advertisements on revival or something, you see these flames. You see a lot of times... it's talking about burning or that type of thing. Scripture talks about a burning in our heart or a flame. And I want to look at that. Does your heart burn when you talk about God, when you read about Him, or hear testimonies about what He is doing? Do you long to be in His presence? This is revival. Does your heart ache to see lives changed and transformed to be more like Jesus? And do you have a passion and a deep love for God? This is revival, okay? And the Bible refers to a burning or being on fire in our hearts. So let's look at that. Luke 24:32. And this is when Jesus had already ascended up into heaven, and His disciples were walking down the road. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us?" By the way, and while He opened to us the scriptures. All of a sudden you'd be talking about God and you just have this welling up in your spirit of who God is. You're excited. You get it. You love Him. And you know that He loves you. That's what I'm talking about, this burning in our hearts or in our spirit. I like how the Message Bible states it. Back and forth they talked. Didn't we feel on fire as He conversed with us on the road? As He opened up the scriptures for us, didn't we feel on fire? You ever been with a friend and you start talking about God and the things of God, and you just like, it just wells up within you? That's what I'm talking about. That's the fire.
Put something in your head, Helen?
Yes, and you say it, and it ministers to him.
And you turn around and ask, yeah, so where'd that come from?
And you knew it didn't come from you, right? Right. God will give us the words to say to people. I know when I have spent time with God or talked about God or have been in an awesome worship service, I can't help but feel on fire. And that's just within my spirit, within my heart. There is a burning in my chest and an overwhelming sense that God can do anything. I've been to the Spiritual Hunger Conferences in Spokane, Washington. And there is times when God just zaps me. And his presence is so overwhelming. But you got all those hungry people coming together, loving on God. It's going to happen. His presence is going to fall, period. Okay? Because when we cry out, when we draw close to him, he draws close to us, right? It seems I have to share it. It seems maybe you have to share it with others, or else you'll explode. That's how I get. It bubbles over, and I get excited, and I want them to hear what God's doing. And then they get excited, and then they see what God's doing in their life. And it just kind of is this catching a flame, catching a flame, catching a flame, right? Because God's not dead, is he? He is alive. And he is wanting to revive any dead thing in us. He doesn't want us to live a mediocre life. All right? Okay.
Ripple in the pond. Starts out middle and spreads all the way to the shores.
Yes, the ripple in the pond. If you have no desire to be revived or even see the need to be, ask God to give you a tender heart towards him. You know, it's not about this message. It's not about you grabbing a hold of what I'm saying. It's all about God here. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree, but the bottom line is, do you love God and do you want more of him? And that's what it's all about. Sometimes we have to let go of the way we think in order to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Our intellect can get in the way and lead us astray when it comes to our relationship towards God. Did you know that? Let go of common sense. That's hard. And allow your faith to arise. So let me just look at this. Common sense versus faith for a second. Can we look at it? All right, just hang with me. Okay, I didn't put it up here, but just think about these things. Common sense says this. I don't have enough money to pay my bills. Okay, for that a given month. That's what common sense says. You look in the checkbook, you see what the bank says, whatever, and you go, okay, I have X amount of bills, I have X amount of money. Okay, that's common sense. But faith says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's what faith says. Common sense says, I better stay home from church today and catch up on my sleep as I have had to put in many late nights at the office. That's what common sense says. Maybe our bodies are feeling tired, feeling run down. That's common sense. It's a fact. It's there. But faith says, I will go to church and know God will invigorate me and empower me to get through my week. Amen. You know what? When we sacrifice like that, God just all of a sudden zaps us, and what we felt and being tired is gone. And he just pours himself into us. Okay? Common sense says, there is a mountain in my way. There it is. I can see it. Faith says, mountain be moved in Jesus' mighty name. Savior, he can move a mountain. He's mighty to save, right? Common sense says, I have failed before, I will fail again, so I better not even try. You ever said those words? That's a lie from the pit of hell, by the way. Faith says, God is a God of the second, third, fourth, and more chances. God is for me, not against me. That's what faith says. You know, and that's the things that we need to allow faith to arise inside of us, okay? Common sense says, I have always been overlooked for a promotion, so why even ask for one? Let me just add to this. Common sense says, I've applied for all these different jobs and I haven't gotten any yet. Let's put that there, right? Because we prayed for people getting jobs today. But faith says, I am the head and not the tail. God has a plan and I will walk in it. I will not get discouraged. I'm going to keep walking because God is for me and not against me. Right? So allow faith to rise in you. Don't fall under depression. Don't fall under doubt. We got to let faith arise. Okay. I love how Oswald Chambers said something, and I'm just going to quote the beginning. This was actually part of my devotions on August 29th, and it says, every time you venture out in your life of faith, you will find something in your circumstances that, from a common sense point or standpoint, will flatly contradict your faith. But common sense is not faith, and faith is not common sense. In fact, they are as different as the natural life and the spiritual life. So I don't know if you ever read this devotional. I read this all the time, every day. My utmost for is highest. I used to read this. Yes, I love it too. I used to read this all the time when in my earlier Christian life, and then I just was compelled to bring it back out. And so the things that ministered to me then are totally different from now. You know, say every year, this is just a year devotional. Every year it's like I'm in a different place. And so you can read the same thing over again, and it has such a total different perspective or meaning. But I was reading, I want to read the rest of that, of what he said that day on August 29th about common sense. So he read everything I just said, and then he said, "Can you trust Jesus Christ where your common sense cannot trust him? Can you venture out with courage on the words of Jesus Christ while the realities of your common sense life continue to shout, 'It's all a lie'? When you are on the mountaintop, it's easy to say, 'Oh yes, I believe God can do it.' But you have to come down from the mountain to the demon-possessed valley and face the realities that scoff at your mount of transfiguration belief. And that's in Luke 9:28 through 42. Every time my theology becomes clear to my own mind, I encounter something that contradicts it. As soon as I say, 'I believe God shall supply all my need,' the testing of my faith begins. When my strength runs dry and my vision is blinded, will I endure this trial of my faith virtuously, or will I turn back in defeat? Faith must be tested, because it can only become your intimate possession through conflict." Let me just read that again. "Faith must be tested, because it can only become your intimate possession through conflict." What is challenging your faith right now? The test will either prove your faith right, or it will kill it. Jesus said, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." That's Matthew 11:6. The ultimate thing is confidence in Jesus. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And that's Hebrews 3:14. Believe steadfastly on him, and everything that challenges you will strengthen your faith. There is continual testing in the life of faith, up to the point of our physical death, which is the last great test. Faith is absolute trust in God. Trust that God could never imagine that he would forsake us. So, the difference between common sense and faith. Don't let common sense prevent you from allowing your faith to arise. Common sense things are you. What common sense things are you holding on to that is preventing you from walking out this life of faith and bringing revival in your life? What are some common, you don't have to answer, just think about it. Some common sense things. This is something God showed me in my secret place. I think I put this up there. Nope, I didn't put it up there. I'll read it. We'll get to this one in a minute. When revival takes flight, we fly to new heavenly places and our hearts are revived. We soar to higher realms in the spirit as we allow ourselves to let go and fly in our spirit with God. We obtain a different perspective when we fly. I have to tell you, this came from listening to Jason Upton and soaking in before the Lord, listening to his music. I'm just telling you that right now. We obtain a different perspective when we fly. Flying sets you free from things that hold you down. We do not get caught in bondage when we take the time to fly with God and be revived in our spirit. Revival is setting free of the things that bind us. Nothing can hold you down. Nothing can take away the experience. And in this higher realm, you hear better and you see clearer. So let's together have that full cry, a cry of revival for Hope Fellowship and for all the churches in Spokane, for all the churches in our country, for all the churches in the world, for the people in the world. Amen. May God's mighty army rise up in faith and take Spokane for God and beyond. Good things are coming. You just wait and see. And so Psalms 119:154. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me and give me life according to your word. And so come next Sunday, because we're going to continue this revival series, but next Sunday we're going to do revival of the heart. All right, flame on. So I pray that you start catching fire and you start realizing there's more to life than just, you know, what's in front of you. There's a bigger picture and what God wants to do in your life. Today I want to end with communion. So Pastor Jenny, why don't you go ahead and come on up and we'll start doing some worship.